And welcome to another edition of Odyssey. This is your host, Mike Schultz. This is a show where we talk about ancient mysteries and metaphysics and unfiltered, non-corporate news of the day. My guest today is an Indigo child. His name is Preston. He's from Oregon. And I met him at a psychic fair, and this is going to be a fascinating hour. Welcome to the show, Preston.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, let's start out by talking about who Indigo children are and why are they coming to this planet in so many great numbers.
Well, basically, Indigo children are advanced beings, or whatever you'd like to call them. They are beings that come here remembering what the last generation forgot. And they're here to teach and let other people remember what they forgot and open up their light so they can connect to their divine being again.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. So how did you know that you were an Indigo child?
Well, basically, it actually came from my mom just reading this one book about Indigo children, and she was reading the description, and it sounded a lot like me, and I felt really truth in my heart. So I'm like, I must be an Indigo child. And so then I went on with that.
Well, it's interesting because I met you at a psychic fair in a small town called Yahats, Oregon. And at the time, this was last year, you were 13. And you were giving a pretty in-depth metaphysical lecture. I don't know too many 13-year-olds that could do that, right?
Well, yeah.
So you're saying these Indigo children come to this earth with a lot of advanced metaphysical knowledge already.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, well, let's talk about, there's also rainbow children. How do they relate to Indigo children?
Rainbow children?
Or crystal children, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, crystal children, what I see is Indigo children and crystal children.
Okay.
Aren't really that different. They just have a different, a little different, like, sides of personality. Like, the Indigo, what I'm saying is the Indigo are sort of like, coming here to break down all these old belief systems and structures, and, you know, and then the crystal person is, like, behind them, like, giving new belief systems and, you know, energies. Like, for instance, it's like there's two people who's, like, crossing in a jungle. The Indigo person is the one in front who's got the little, like, knife, and it's just cutting through all the vines and stuff. Then the crystal person is behind there, just kind of throwing new seeds in, making, like, beautiful trees and clearing the debris.
That is a beautiful story. Now, tell me, how can a person know if there's an Indigo or a crystal child in their community or maybe at their school, or how can you tell if they're out there?
Well, basically, it's pretty easy to tell because crystal children, I actually read in a book, they say crystal children, when you look in their eyes, they will, like, keep your eyes for a long time, and they have these just crystalline-like eyes, you know? And when you look at them, you can just feel that there's a wise soul in it. And Indigo as well, and Indigo is very, very more knowledgeable beyond it. Sometimes people say they're older than they really are, they're an old soul, or, you know. And that works both ways, but Indigo are maybe a little bit more open than the crystal, because some crystal children are a little shy sometimes.
Okay, well, that's interesting. We should all be looking around in our communities for these special children that are helping healing the planet.
Oh, yeah.
Now, tell me, are you in contact with Ascended Masters or ETs? Are you receiving messages that you can share with the public?
Well, basically, it's a little bit of both, like a little salad.
Okay.
Sometimes I really work together with all of them. You know, sometimes, like when I'm doing my angel readings.
Right.
There will be one point while working with the angels. But then this other point, this person wanted to know more about ETs, so I was working with the ETs and the UFOs and stuff. And then other people want to know about their Ascended Masters, so I was working with that. It's really, you can't you don't have to just be connected to one thing, you know, because they all want to, you know, show up and be like, hey, I'm here.
They're all helping the planet, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Now tell me a little bit more about your angel readings and what you do with the client.
Oh, my angel readings?
Sure.
Well, basically, what I do is I tune in with their angel. I draw them a angel portrait. And while I'm doing that, I tell them the messages that the angels are desiring to tell them. Like, they've been trying to tell you, but they haven't got through because, you know, there might be some blocks or something. And so I'm being the clear channel so you can hear all those messages.
And you're a really great artist, too, because you did it for me last year. And you do, like, an angel that looked like a cat, I remember.
Oh, yeah.
So some of them look like animals, right?
Yeah. Well, that was more of an E.T. angel.
An E.T. angel?
Mm-hmm.
If people, you know, this is a nationwide show. If people want to meet with you, but they live far away, could they do that by phone, or how does it work?
They can do it by phone, yeah.
Really? Do you have a number you want to give out? Or do you want to just hold off on that?
Well, we have a website.
Okay, why don't we refer them to the website?
Okay. Well, it's www.divinelyguided.net.
I love that name.
Thank you.
Divinelyguided.net.
Me and Mom both made it.
You mean divinelyguided.com was taken?
No. We can change .com anytime.
Okay, divinelyguided.net. Well, we have a very metaphysical audience, and a lot of people are going to want to talk to you and get these angel readings. So let's move on and talk to me about manifesting, because you're really great at that. How do you manifest things that you want in your life?
Well, basically, the way we do it is we put a lot of joy into it, and we act as though it's already happening. And we see it in our mind's eye, and we start acting it out, or jumping around and dancing, you know, and sometimes we even break into song. We're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I got a new cell phone. Oh, I got a new bike, you know. And you're just like jumping up around like, you know, you already got it. And
wow.
It brings it in much faster.
That's amazing, because that's exactly what the Abraham tapes say.
Yeah, we listen to the Abraham tapes as well.
You do? So it's all about being really positive, right?
It's all about, mostly focused, is getting out of your own way and allowing it to come.
Wow, because the universe is abundant, right?
Exactly. You don't want to try and make it, because that's like, you know, struggling and pulling. You allow it, and it just comes easily and effortlessly.
It's funny, because it's like, if you like live in a town, and let's say you own a grocery store, and maybe there's another grocery store, it's human nature to think, oh my gosh, it's competitive, and we have to really fight for business with each other.
Yeah.
But it's not like that, right?
No.
Because the universe is abundant, and there's lots of customers for everyone, right?
Of course. And, you know, yours will shine through with your true, like, energy of that store, you know? Some people will go like, oh, wow, I just feel a great energy here, or I just love this store. I don't know why. You know, you just put out the energy. But if you put out the energy of, oh, we're going to cut these prices. Oh, yeah, we're going to cut these prices. Oh, yeah, you know? Then it's just going to be like, oh, my gosh, I don't want to go around these like two-year-old fighting.
So you're saying like you can use music and dancing and to be joyful as you're trying to manifest what you want?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah. Me and Mom are developing a technique called mana dance. And basically it's manifesting while dancing and singing and stuff, because we found that that brings it even more than just, you know, sitting there and being all excited.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, movement's life force energy.
That's wonderful. Now, tell me that you recently manifested a bicycle for yourself. Why don't you tell me that story, how that occurred?
Well, oh my gosh, it was so awesome. Okay, basically, we just moved to Ashland, and everybody was, you know, riding bikes, and it was a perfect place to ride bikes. I didn't have a bike, though.
Okay.
So, what we did is, we just kept on, you know, saying to the universe, we are going to manifest a bike, you know? And then I'm like, mountain bike, remember, mountain bike, you know? And so pretty soon we kept on, you know, acting as though we've already got it, you know, seeing his mind's eye. And then one time we were driving by, you know, down the street, and all of a sudden Mom had a feeling to go down the street that she never really took.
Right.
She took it, and amazingly, it was just like the universe said, there you go. We looked around, and at that corner was a mountain bike with a $20 sign on it.
Only $20?
Well, it was $30, but Mom got it down to $20.
That's still extremely cheap.
Extremely amazing.
Yes.
It was just right there. No one had taken it. It even came with a lock and everything. It was gorgeous.
You got a lock with it.
It
because
was
a lock is like $10.
Uh-huh. It was like a $20 lock.
So it was really what you were picturing in your mind. That bike disappeared.
Yeah. It was. It was a very nice bike.
That is a great story, and we should all be doing that in our personal lives.
Yeah.
Now, how do you handle a story, or a situation, excuse me, where there is someone in your life who you don't get along with?
Oh. Well, basically what you can do is, if you really don't want them in your life anymore, then, you know, what you can say is that you bless them out of their life easily, effortlessly, with ease, as they bless me out of theirs.
Bless them out of your life easily and effortlessly. How do you do that?
Well, basically, you do the affirmation where you release them and put them to their higher being as they do that to you, and you just see them releasing you and you releasing them.
I see.
And if you quote unquote, like, have to be with them,
right,
or you're just like trying to be nice, basically what you want to do, there's some people that, you know, you don't really want to like be around, but like say they see you in the store or something, you know, you can just be like, oh, hi, and then, you know, just like acknowledge them, just don't be too rude, and then just be like, oh, okay, goodbye.
Keep it neutral.
Yes, keep it very neutral.
Okay, and then don't spend a lot of time thinking about them, because that will draw them to you,
right?
That
will draw them much more to you if you just go, oh, I hate this person, because then they're just going to go, ding, 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 hello.
You know, it's really true, because I have a part-time job with the parks, and it was a person I did not get along with at Parks and Recreation, and I spent a lot of time thinking about that person negatively. And I went shopping that week, and guess what? They showed up in the store shopping with right next to me.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I was so frustrated at the time, but then I realized, yep, I've been focusing on this person.
Yeah, you don't want to focus on what you don't want and focus what you do want.
Absolutely. Let's move on, and let's talk about, you know, a lot of us have, like, that negative little voice in our head that that says, what if this happens? What if I get cancer? What if I lose my job? I mean, how can you calm down that negative voice?
Well, it's basically like the monkey mind, some people call it, or the ego. I have that sometimes, and what I do, you know, if they go like, if it says like, oh my gosh, what if I lose my job? I just go back and say, what if I get a better job? Oh gosh, what if I had a heart attack? Oh my gosh, what if I didn't, you know? And basically, sometimes if it's really bugging you,
right,
what we see is we visualize the quote-unquote lower self in this little like tube over pool, and put him in this little vacation somewhere far away with a little fan in his drink and just, you know, chill. Like, okay, you go have your little vacation and just chill, you know, and then they don't bother.
And you can also do that with a person maybe in your life, just send them on a vacation in a nice way.
And put a little fan in their drink, be like, okay, goodbye.
That is such a good idea. So are there any specific ascended masters or spirit guides you're in contact with that you meditate in contact with?
Well, let's see. There was this one, specific ET that I came in touch with, and it was really cool. I haven't really came in touch with that much. Basically, it's kind of like a little random, like, draw a name out of a hat thing.
Right.
You know, who is the highest and greatest, you know, person, good for this person, you know?
Right.
So, I don't really have some specifics, really, but the words are very powerful. And I've basically really mostly been working with the angels and the angelic forces, flows, and maybe, and then a little bit of ETs and stuff.
Now, you're talking about the archangels, Michael and Gabriel and Raphael and Uriel?
That and just the angelic energies, you know.
I see. So sometimes ETs, sometimes angels, and it just depends on what the client you're working with, who they need to speak to.
Exactly.
Now, how can we contact our spirit guides and angels?
Well, basically, it's a good idea to get into a place that you really are, like, high vibration, you know. And before you do anything, do something that you really love to do, you know. Like, if you really love to dance, just start dancing.
Right.
If you really love to sing, start singing. And then get into, like, it has to be a quiet space, but usually it helps better. Either out in nature, inside.
Okay.
And just ask the universe to give me messages that my guides are trying to give me. And sometimes you don't even have to ask because it just flows. When you're doing what you love, it just flows down into you.
It's called being in the zone, right?
Yeah.
Now, are they giving you any general messages for humanity or the earth or mankind? Or are we going to make it through all these troubles and wars? And
oh, yeah, yeah. See, basically, don't focus on all the wars and all the politics and stuff.
Right.
And focus just on what's awesome in the world or what's awesome in your world. We all have our own reality. And so why should we worry about what's in other people's reality when we can focus on all the good things that's happening in our reality?
That is stunning what you just said, because if you turn on the news, it's 99% negative and problems.
Because that's in their reality.
But,
and they think that most people in their reality, that's, you know, popular in their reality.
So if we're watching it, then we're feeding into it.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I take it you watch very little news, right?
No, barely any news.
Yeah.
And don't read the newspaper either.
Exactly. It's so much better. And you're right. I mean, on the news, they're always going to talk about maybe the killing that happened in your town. But look at all the thousands of great things that happened that
exactly.
day in your town. I mean, people got promotions, they got married, they had babies. But that never makes the news. It's the one murder that occurred.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. That is a really amazing way to think of the news. Okay, so if you're in a negative mood, and depressed, and you're down. So
uh-huh.
mainly, what other things can you do? You can be joyful, listen to music, do fun activities.
Well, actually, I've had that before,
mm-hmm.
and even though it'd be awesome to just say that you can snap right out of it, sometimes it feels like you can't.
I know, yeah. When you're in that really deep black mood, what do you do?
So basically, what you want to do is, you don't want to push yourself and try to be all of a sudden extremely joyful from just like all warm and depressed and stuff. What you want to do is you want to think of a emotion up. And this is a little bit from Abraham.
Okay.
There's like an emotional chart, right?
Right.
And like, for instance, anger is better than depression, you know? It's one step up.
Right.
And just keep on stepping up. And you want to listen to some music, you know? Still do what you love, but, you know, basically try and have fun, have a good tune in your head, and, you know, and keep on stepping up, and pretty soon you just feel, oh, wow, I think I feel a little bit better, you know.
I see, step by step.
And pretty soon you'll just be like, bam, I'm joyful again.
Now, can you give me another example of maybe a client or your mom or someone you know who really manifested something great in their life?
Oh, I think I need my mom to tell you this story.
Okay, well, she'll be on next after you, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well.
How about anything for you that you can think of besides the bike? And I mean, I know you do it every day.
Right now I'm manifesting a cell phone.
You are? Right now?
I'm going to manifest. Yeah, I'm manifesting a cell phone.
Okay, so you're just visualizing exactly what you want,
mm-hmm.
right?
And I'm starting a laptop with you. Oh, I know.
Uh-huh.
Oh, now this was pretty awesome.
Okay.
Okay. this is a half manifesting story, half just like a magical story.
Right.
It was Christmas Eve, right? And I kept on telling Mom that I wanted a go board. Oh, Mom's like, okay, I'm gonna get you a go board. You know. But this, it's a Japanese board game, ancient board game. It's really awesome.
Okay.
Anyways, but then I kept on going to the Radio Shack, and I kept on looking at this game system called the PS2, and it came with this game and stuff, and I was just like, man, I really, really want that, you know. But it was a little bit pricey, you know. I just kept on manifesting it, you know, thinking how cool it'd be when I have it, you know. And then, like, the night before, I looked out, and I saw a go board. I mean, I thought I saw it, you know?
Right.
And then when I woke up, I came back, and there was this giant box. I opened it, and it was what I was manifesting. It was the PS2. And I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, wow. Because what I said is, when I was sleeping, I'm like, okay. It sounds kind of kiddish, but I was like, all right, if Santa's really real, then I'll get a PS2. Bing! Oh, my God, that was awesome.
And it just appeared, right?
Yeah.
Now, what about dreaming? How can we remember our dreams better and all the messages that come through?
Well, basically what I've felt is that when there's emotion to something that you're trying to remember, you can remember it more, you know?
Okay.
Like, when Mom just says, okay, do you remember this? I'm like, no. Like, the directions or something.
Right.
But, like, say there was a really strong emotion when I was looking at the directions, you know. Like, oh, my gosh, I was so happy when I was looking at directions, and I, you know, I was glad that I could understand them, you know. And I remember staring at the directions being all happy, and I go, oh, yeah, I remember it, you know. So, basically, think of the emotion in that dream. The most strongest point, and producing it will just, you know, keep coming back. Because I have lots of dreams, and I'm like, I'm going to call tell my mom, and then I'm like, okay, I forgot them. But then I remember the main part, and that's really the most important. The main part is what they're trying to tell you through dreams.
I see. So once again, people are going to want angel readings from you. Where can they go? What's the website?
It is www.divinelyguided.net.
Okay, now tell me that you're able to find out the soul name for each person. How does that work?
Oh, sacred soul name?
Yes.
Well, basically, I channel a high vibration language called light language. And it's the language of the stars, and it's spoken through the symbols of energy and movement. You know, and they graph that energy into a symbol, and that symbol keeps that same energy. I know it kind of blew you away. It's like, do that again. But anyways, so what it is your sacred soul or your core is your divine being. It's your core. It's your soul. It's whatever you want to call it. And, you know, and when you want to come into your divine being, why not start by knowing its name, you know?
Okay.
And so basically I give you its name in light language, then in English, I tell you what it means, and then I give you your sacred symbol, and that's basically what you stand for.
That's fascinating.
I found out that once I've done it, even to me, I feel more joyful, I feel way more connected. It really helps. I can just feel it.
Ah, that's wonderful. So people are definitely going to want to find out more about the soul readings and the angel readings.
Also,
go ahead.
If you want to contact me, I have an email just for that.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, it's crystalrainbowcelebration@yahoo.com.
What a great name. Let's say that again.
Okay, it's crystalrainbowcelebration@yahoo.com.
Well, you definitely have a lot of joyful energy, and you're a lot of fun, and we all want to capture what you have, Preston.
All right.
Any last thoughts before we turn it over to your mom, who's just like you, by the way?
Well, I just wanted to say I have a message that came to me.
Okay.
Basically, it's a time. Now is the time for joy. So open your heart and let your spirit fly.
Ah, that's wonderful. Thank you for being with us, and why don't you
hand
the phone over to your mom, Mary Ann, and
gladly.
We will continue, okay?
All right.
Okay, God bless, Chris.
You
thank
too.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye. Hello.
Hi, Mary Ann. That was a wonderful interview.
That was awesome.
I know. Why don't you tell me a little bit more about manifesting, too? We were talking about different ways of doing it. How do you do it in your daily life?
Well, basically what I do is I go to my end result like it's already there.
Right.
And the more that I put in the colors and the feeling and really just, I shut my eyes. That's the way I do it. And in my mind's eye, I see the image exactly as I want it. And then I get, you know, very excited because I act like I'm telling somebody that I've already got it and how excited it is and stuff like that. And then when you do that, sooner than later, you know, you all you have to do is just get your vibration and you keep it up there like for 64 seconds. And then pretty soon it becomes a dominant thought and it will start coming to you. It happens all the time.
It's sending out a huge thought bubble into the universe, right?
That is correct. Exactly what it does.
Okay, now, you know, you and Preston have a really high level of joy and energy. How do you do that so much of the time? How are you able to keep this wonderful, excited mood?
Well, because it's better than the alternative. Probably because, you know, we've been through a lot and stuff like that, and we really realize that now is the time, you know, every moment of every day, we just sit there and we kind of check in and we go, okay, now, this is a very special day. It's priceless. You know, are we really going to, you know, are we going to waste it being all sad all the time? And it's very important that we keep, like, high vibration, high-spirited people around us that see life as an incredible gift that it is.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And you mentioned one of the lessons you were told was complain less and appreciate more, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, that's huge. And another thing that I've learned is that if you've met somebody and you didn't have the best situation with them and it was, like, so many years back, I just got how important it is not to hold them in that space.
I see.
You know, to forgive them and realize that they did the best that they did when they were there. And then I got, if we don't release them, how will we expect them to see us who we really are now?
I see. So don't hold on to grudges.
Yes.
Right?
And so we did that. And this guy, he almost cried because we saw him at an event. And I said, hey, you're not the same person then, and I'm not the same person now. And I said, I see you who you really are and not who you were then. And he apologized and we apologized and now we're good friends.
Now, what do you think is the idea? I've heard psychics say that you can write them a letter and then just kind of go out in nature and just kind of burn it and let them go. Do you think that's a good idea?
That's one of the options and stuff like that. You can, you know, just write it down. And I always tell people, you know, sometimes when you're really frustrated, just writing it down, doesn't matter if the words are right, just let that emotion flow, get it out. Because then it won't be in your energy field. Because the more you have that in the energy field, when you go out, you will draw that to you because you're a magnet for it. And so you just want to really focus that, you know, and what I do, women do it, I guess, more than men or something, but we look in our own eyes and we just go, gosh, I'm so thankful to be here. We can do this. You know, it's time to stand up and just, you know, be and let our energy just flow and be excited because it is a gift. You know, that the universe gave us to be here now.
Absolutely. So you recognized at an early age that Preston was special and different, didn't you?
Oh, yes. When he was about 18 months old, he was barely could walk, but he was doing a gesture with his hands. And I said, you guys, look at this. And I saw him, like, painting in the air. And I said, wow. And so then what we did is we ended up putting a pencil in his hand within just, you know, probably not even a couple of months. And he already knew how to hold it, and they were just amazed.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so he's already definitely came from all of this.
And I really want people to get in contact with you. I want you to give out the website again. And just, you know, we have a great metaphysical audience nationwide, and there's people that really need to meet with Preston, even by phone, and hear his message. So go ahead and talk about the services he offers again.
Okay. Well, he's got Divine Angel Readings, and then he's also got the Sacred Core Names. And what I was going to tell you, some of his past people that he's worked with, one of the ladies liked it so much, she is looking into changing her name to it. And when he gave it to her, we were driving back, and she literally started to cry because she could feel the truth and the power in it.
Wow.
Yeah, and see, now mine basically is,
Yeah, mine's Sionica Ita, and it means flame of pure love. And when he said that to me, I almost fell on my face. Because then it hit me so hard that my tears hit me.
You remember deep down, right?
Yes, it's a memory. And it's, you know, it's just, it's time to be who we came here to be. And the more that we can release the things that are blocking us, the better.
So they need to go to?
Divinelyguided.net. And it's a brand new site that we just kind of put together as a cool little project. And you can also go to the email that's there, which is crystalrainbowcelebration@yahoo.com.
And I just want to mention to people that this is not an advertisement. I just, as I go through my metaphysical journey, I meet people who are amazing and awesome, and I just invite them on the radio show. It's not an advertisement, but you guys, the two of you struck me with your high energy and your joy.
Well, it's exciting, you know, to be here. And it's fun because, God, we're having a blast. All these people that we're meeting and stuff like that, and it's finally time to say yes. And a lot of people say, you know, you guys are yes for life. And I would have to say, I would agree with that. You know, we're here for life because we love life. Life is such a gift.
It was so interesting. You know, so many people spend maybe an hour or two a day watching the news, the negative news, and reading the paper. And that's really spiraling them down, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And what I would say is, you know, do that less and be out in nature more. And connect with your friends, you know, and have fun and listen to music that you love. And, you know, what I ask the universe is basically, okay, universe, if I need to know something, then you just get a hold of me and let me know. And it's already happened. All of a sudden, it's Marianne, we want you to turn on the TV. And then there was something that I needed to hear. Other than that, you know, I don't even focus on that very much.
Oh, that is such a wonderful idea. Universe, yeah. Just let me know when I need to turn on the TV.
Yes, because that's from Louise Hay, and that's what she does. And I just love her, you know, and stuff like that. So I just love what she does. So, it, you know, I go, hey, this sounds good. I think I'll do this, too.
Because there are certain things we need to hear on the radio and TV, but we don't want to hear all the rest.
You got it.
Ah, that's such a good idea.
Yeah, and so that's what I do, and then that's what I tell other people. You know, I said, you know, you want a suggestion, and you want it so you don't feel so down. It's huge about who you have in your life also.
Just surrounding yourself with positive, uplifting people, right?
Yes. And it's real important that you have some kind of like a support system and stuff like that. Now, one thing that I went to that was really cool, it's called an Intenders Circle.
Right.
And it's on the internet. It's just like Intenders, I think it's .org or something.
Right.
And it is powerful.
Is
because
it?
They've been doing it for like 10 years. And basically it came back to, and it's the same way I've been doing it. It's talking about when you want whatever that you're desiring, okay? You
right.
go to the end result. And then the one guy said, it's like a done deal. That's it. You just, you know, you do your hands and say, okay, thanks, universe. I know it'll be on its way. I'm just going to go have some fun and love life. And, you know, and then sooner than later, man, when you see, so you got to fully release it. When you put out that desire, you can't have it like a kite and go, okay, are you flying yet?
So you send it on its way.
Yes, yes. And that's what I've done, and I've done things in the past, and I'd say, okay, universe, if I'm supposed to pay this bill, then I release it to you. And within days, I opened this drawer. Days before I opened this drawer, there was nothing there. Days after, I opened the drawer, and I dang near fell to my knees. $93, the most that I needed for that bill, was
perfect.
There 2 days later.
I
just
see.
Went, wow.
Trust the universe.
Yes.
Now, here it is, October 12th. Something special is going on in 5 days. Tell us about October 17th.
Okay, October 17th basically is an energy that's coming into the planet more and more. And basically what it is it's a very manifesting ray, okay? So it's real important that you only think about what you want and not what so much you don't want. But just keep it light, and it'll be a lot of fun. And it can really, everything you ask for can come in that much faster. So it's just an incredible time to be here. And I would say just focus on keeping your energy light. And laugh a lot.
Absolutely. Keep it joyful and light and fun.
Yes.
Well, it's an honor having you impressed on the show. You're just so light and fun and joyful.
Well, we appreciate this opportunity, too. This is awesome.
Okay. Well, I see great things in your future. And let's everyone go over to divinelyguided.net. And thank you for being on the show.
Yes. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Marianne.
Bye. Take care now.
Bye-bye. So that was Marianne in Preston, and Preston is an indigo child, and just a wonderful joy to be around. They're a lot of fun. Like I said, bye-bye. And anyway, we're going to continue on with the show. Basically, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about myself. My name is Mike Schultz, and I'm a professional tarot card reader, and I'm on a metaphysical journey like most of you, and what I do on my show, it's every 2 weeks. It's every other Thursday. We go live at 9 in the morning, and then we rebroadcast at 7 p.m. that evening. I just bring you the best in metaphysics. I mean, we've had experts on aromatherapy on the show, and, you know, we talk about UFOs, and today it was indigo children, but it's always a fascinating topic that will help you out on your journey. So I read tarot over the phone nationwide, and I really also want to connect with some of you. And my website is fountainsofyouth.net. That's plural, fountainsofyouth.net. And I have a page on there about my tarot readings. They're very reasonably priced. For a little while I worked on a psychic line. It was like $3 a minute, and I just couldn't really do that ethically. I mean, it takes me a minute to shuffle, and I felt like, well, I'm charging them $3 just to shuffle their card for that minute, so I'm much more reasonably priced than the psychic line I used to be on. But what I do is I really encourage people to bring specific questions to me. It can be, you know, what is this project going to work, or you can ask about people in your life, like, can I trust this person, or, you know, how does this person feel about me? Is there a romantic possibility, or is this just a friendship? And we kind of piece together the most important parts of your life, and it's almost like the Wizard of Oz when Dorothy goes on that journey. She kind of meets people along the way who help her in different ways, like the Scarecrow and the Tin Man and the Cowardly Lion. I'm kind of like one of those characters you meet along the way. And I sit down with you for 30 minutes or an hour, and then I send you on your way with new help and guidance. And we don't want to, you know, kind of spin our wheels in life and waste our time. You know, so many people just kind of go off in the wrong direction. And, like, for instance, if a person came to me and said, you know, I really want to go to law school. I really want to be a lawyer. And I would just say, well, let's take a look. Let's do a reading, because that's 3 or 4 years of your life. That's a tremendous amount of time and energy. And let's see if this is really the right thing for you, and if you're really suited to this type of work, and if this is what you're put on this planet to do. And the spirit guides and angels really come forward with the helpful information. But of course, you don't base a big decision like that just on a reading. You talk to lots of people, you do lots of research and lots of homework in addition to a tarot card reading, and then you are armed to make your big decision with something like that. So once again, I'm Mike Schultz, and I'm at fountainsofyouth.net, and you can read a little bit about my tarot services and the phone readings that I do nationwide. And that's toll-free, by the way. There's no phone charge with that. So for the remainder of the show, you know, we have 15 minutes or so. I'm going to talk about some of the other news of the day, some really important things. Last week I had a pretty interesting excursion out of town. I'm from Portland. I went up to Trout Lake, Washington, to a UFO ranch, and had a really wonderful experience. There's a man named James Gilliland. He's been in deep contact with ETs for many, many years, and they have sky watches every night. So his website, and I always recommend you have a pencil and a paper when you listen to my show, because I'm always giving out information. But he's at eceti.org, eceti.org, and James actually has a radio show on this station as well on Saturday nights. But we definitely saw ETs. I saw 5 or 6 fly across the sky. They were at a great distance. It wasn't a close encounter of the first kind, but he's at the base of a volcano, and we could see them go through the sky. It was really wonderful. So anyway, I also want to talk a little bit about my DVD that I released in April. It's called The Sands of Time. It's about the ancient astronaut theory. that theory kind of gained momentum and popularity in the 1970s with the release of a book called Chariots of the Gods. I know many of you have read the book or seen the film, and it goes into this theory that there was an advanced race that was involved in the construction of these sophisticated pyramids and cities that we find all over the world. So in my DVD, which is available at fountainsofyouth.net, I really go into all these different cities. We have a slideshow, and we talk a lot about Egypt and the Great Pyramids of Giza. What's really interesting is that these three pyramids, the Great Pyramids, are aligned with the star system of Orion. The belt of Orion is three great stars. It's an exact match. So the engineers and architects really had great detailed knowledge of the celestial heavens. And I don't believe it was the primal tribes of that region. I believe that it really was an advanced race. Because these cultures, such as in Egypt, they had advanced knowledge of agricultural systems, of art and music and educational systems. They had a detailed knowledge of astronomy and the sciences. And these pyramids were built with such advanced construction knowledge and sophistication that they are still standing to this day. So these societies can be found not only in Egypt, but in India and in Mexico and in South America and in China and in Persia. And I'm also studying right now a temple in Cambodia that also falls into line with these other six advanced, sophisticated cities. So you know, kind of each time I have a show, I tell you a little bit more about the DVD and we cover a different topic, but you know, the ancient Romans, the Egyptians, and the Greeks, they all believed in polytheism, or many different types of gods. And they really believed, if you look at their artwork and their culture and the writings they left behind, that these gods, these demigods, had human qualities, and that they interacted with humans directly. And that this was not all mythology. They really believed this. They had many different types of gods for, you know, all types of occasions. They had a god of the dead, a god of love, a god of the sun, a god of the moon, a god of the sea, a god of weapon making, et cetera, et cetera. It just goes on and on. It's very pervasive and detailed all throughout their culture. It's funny, when I took Greek mythology in college, they taught the whole class completely as if it were all mythology. And it was puzzling to some of the students. We were thinking, well, were the Greeks delusional? Were they just making all of this up, going to all this trouble with all of this artwork? And but that was the official story, and that's the way it was taught. But I really believe we need to look deeper into these cultures, and the idea that these gods were really interacting with humans back around 2000 BC, 3000 BC. And then, of course, there was a shift, and if you believe the ancient astronaut theory, the gods did recede into the background and are in the background today very much. So, you know, we talk about Easter Island, which are these incredible monuments that are in the South Pacific, and a lot of people believe that there was this ancient continent of Lemuria in the Pacific, and it kind of stretched between Hawaii and Easter Island, and that's really all that's left of Lemuria. But there's never been more than a few thousand people on Easter Island, just small tribes and groups, and despite this small population, they were able to create 600 of these stunning large monuments all over the island facing outward, these huge stone statues. And they were about 33 feet high on average, and they weighed from 10 tons to 165 tons. Well, each ton is 2,000 pounds, so we're talking 20,000 pounds to over 300,000 pounds. This is just incredible weight, and it would be very difficult for the local tribes to do this with their crude tools. They just had small little knives, but you know, I also really believe, as I look into this material, as Eric von Däniken and other researchers, that they had help from advanced cultures with advanced technology. So I do have slides in my DVD about Easter Island, and it's all in my DVD, The Sands of Time. So you can purchase that at fountainsofyouth.net. and also see and read about my tarot card services. So let's move on. I'd like to, you know, we talked about the news and how negative it is. And to be honest with you, I haven't watched network news or read the paper in years. It's been about 5 years for me. I was so disappointed by the coverage of 911. I don't feel there was any real investigation, that I've turned off the media since then. And I actually belong to a 911 group, and maybe at some point, you know, they spring up all over the nation. I'll have one of my 911 group members on the show, but you know, the polls, there was a huge poll of 70,000 people taken recently, and I heard George Norrie talking about this, and now the majority of the public really feels that it was an inside job on some level, that our government either allowed it or, you know, helped make it happen, and 61% of the public now believes this, so it's truly high time for a real investigation. One of the, a lot of people only believe two skyscrapers fell in 911, but there was actually a third one called WTC-7. It was a very large skyscraper, 47 stories high, and it fell within 10 seconds. It completely dropped at 5 o'clock that evening. So if you look into that third building that fell, there's clear signs of a demolition, and you know, millions of Americans are really looking into this, and if you have a curiosity about this, I would recommend, there's a free DVD called Loose Change you can get. It's millions of these are being downloaded all over the country, this free DVD. Just go to your computer and type in Loose Change. And the other great website is Infowars.com. It's run by a guy out of Texas named Alex Jones, and he's getting millions and millions of hits a day. I mean, more people are really turning to Infowars.com to get their news, because we're just not getting it out of the mainstream media. So he kind of, his claim to fame, or what really put him on the map, was there is a sort of an occult secret campground in Northern California called Bohemian Grove, and very few people had ever heard of it. I know years ago, People Magazine tried to write a story on it, and the story was suppressed. They weren't able to get it out in People Magazine, of all things. And what happened was, around the year about 2000, he had heard these stories of our, you know, our famous politicians and leaders of the world going to this campground every summer and wearing white robes and kind of engaging in occult rituals involving the worship of a pagan god, a stone owl named Moloch, and then they burn a body in effigy, you know, on this lake, and they are chanting, and it just sounds ridiculous. It sounds absurd. How could this be? You know, our world leaders like Kissinger and the Clintons and the Bushes and all of these people, it sounded absurd. But he actually snuck into the campground with a video camera, and he recorded it, and you can see the film on his website. It's Infowars.com. Once again, it's not a commercial or a plug. It's just something I think everyone should see, because you have to see all of these people lined up engaging in these rituals, and then you'll realize that there's really a lot more to the story, you really have to look into the whole New World Order and the One World Government and Freemasonry and Bohemian Grove and all of these secret societies to really find out what's actually happening on this planet. It really frees you and takes you out of the Matrix. And that might be a good movie to see again also. That's kind of Hollywood giving you a little wink of the eye and letting you know what's going on. And so I also recommend people read the books of David Icke. It's spelled I-C-K-E. And you can go to davidicke.com. That's davidicke.com. If you really have an interest in Bohemian Grove and this mystery and the skull and bones, and it's been quite an education for myself to learn about this hidden hand in our mystery. And I definitely touch on these aspects too in my DVD, The Sands of Time. So you can purchase, it's a lecture and a slideshow with about 100 slides from all around the world, and you can buy that at fountainsofyouth.net, fountainsofyouth.net. So just in the remaining few minutes that we have, I'll tell you once again, my show is every other Thursday. We go live at 9 in the morning, and at 7 p.m. we repeat it. And I encourage all of you to go to my archives. I've had a lot of great shows now. This is about my fifth or sixth show, but boy, one of the shows I had a guest on who was just an expert on aromatherapy, and I really encourage you to go to the archives and listen all about aromatherapy, because as human beings, we're very emotional, and aromatherapy really helps you control your moods. If you need more energy, there's an essential oil you can use to feel stronger. If you're tired or you're just stressed out and you want to relax, there's an essential oil that will help you do that. And believe me, I'm a massage therapist. That's something I do, you know, very part-time. But I use aromatherapy to really help my clients relax. It saves me a lot of work, believe me. I can get them on the table, and within a few minutes, I use, you know, lavender and sandalwood and some other powerful oils, and I can really help them reach a deep state of relaxation. It's wonderful. So that was one of my guests. And, you know, today we had Preston, the Indigo Child. That's a really wonderful thing to share with people, because they're all over. The thousands of them are coming back to this earth to help heal the planet. And I've had, you know, psychics and really interesting people. So please go to the archives for Odyssey and find out a little bit more about that. So just to recap, you know, we talked about Easter Island today and all of those ancient sites like in Egypt and in Mexico. We didn't even get into Mexico, but all throughout southern Mexico from the Yucatan Peninsula, there's huge stone monuments. There's another grouping of monuments called the Olmec Heads, O-L-M-E-C, Heads. And they're giant. They're 60 tons of a human head. They're a replica. And they're placed all throughout the jungle. And they're really a remnant of an ancient culture that was quite sophisticated and able to carve out these huge monuments from gravel pits and transport them great distances. You know, these gravel pits were not right next to the monuments. They often had to bring them miles and miles. And remember, they did not have the wheel or any type of transportation a couple thousand years ago. So we're really you have to consider the idea of advanced technology being involved in carving out these monuments and bringing them to the site. So I have some pictures of the Olmec Heads in Mexico, and I really get into the significance and their purpose. And then the ancient city of Teotihuacan, I know that's a mouthful, but it's called Teotihuacan, is near Mexico City, and that has hundreds of pyramids and temples. It's in a very elaborate city. It's very sophisticated. They had all kinds of worker specializations, such as metalsmithing and, you know, goldsmithing, and they had doctors and lawyers and dentists, and it's really incredible. And the Mayans did not build this. They came along 500 years later and just kind of found these pyramids and lived amongst them. But there was an advanced group way before the Mayans who did build this city of Teotihuacan, and it's not that far away. You can actually go visit it in Mexico. So anyway, we're going to wind up the show, but you know, if I've piqued your interest on these ancient mysteries, please go to my site, fountainsofyouth.net, and purchase the DVD, The Sands of Time, because I really need to lay it out in a more detailed fashion. It's more complex, and it takes about 90 minutes to kind of go through the whole scenario of the ancient astronaut theory. So thank you for coming to Odyssey and joining me today. I really love this experience of sharing all that I can with you on my metaphysical journey. I try to bring you the best of the best. So I will see you every other Thursday at 9 a.m. live and 7 p.m. we repeat at night. Go to the website, bbsradio.com, and check out Odyssey. Thank you very much. Goodbye.